Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret and we are in the book of Job today, our 18th study in the book of Job. And we come today to Job chapter 36, verse 24. And Father, we are asking today that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study in Jesus' name. Amen. Job chapter 36, verse 24. Elihu, one of the men present with Job in his suffering, is the one who is speaking, and he will proclaim God's majesty. And he says in verse 24, "Remember to extol his work, of which men have sung." In other words, praise God's workmanship. What he does and what he has made tells us many wonderful things about God. You can't help but learn about God when you look at the things that he has made and learn how powerful he is and how smart he is. What a wonderful God we have. Verse 25, "All men have looked on it. Man beholds it from afar." And the amazing thing about God's workmanship is that it is so huge that no one is too far away to see it. 26, "Behold, God is great, and we know him not. The number of his years is unsearchable." God is infinite, and he is infinitely great. He's much greater than any of us could even possibly imagine. 27, "For he draws up the drops of water, he distills his mist in rain." Amazing God to figure out the water cycle. What a great invention that is. He lifts the water up from the surface of the earth, from the oceans, he distills it, he purifies it, and then he drops it from the clouds as fresh water. What a great idea. 28, "Which the skies pour down and drop upon man abundantly." Nice rain for everyone. 21, "Can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thunderings of his pavilion?" Science has figured out how it works. And if people are honest, they must admit that there is an intelligent designer behind it all. Verse 30, "Behold, he scatters his lightning about him and covers the roots of the sea." The most amazing and powerful light show in the world is Almighty God and his lightning. 31, "For by these he judges peoples. He gives food in abundance." The weather is one way God shows his power, and it's one way he judges people and blesses other people. 32, "He covers his hands with the lightning and commands it to strike the mark." God aims his lightning. Sorry if you've had a bad experience, but it is what Scripture says, and God has a reason for every single lightning bolt. 33, "Its crashing declares concerning him who is jealous with anger against iniquity. The voice of Almighty God roars in the thunder like a lion." It's a reminder of how big God is. Chapter 37, verse 1, "At this also my heart trembles and leaps out of its place." He says a powerful thunderstorm gets to him every single time. I've got to admit, I get excited every time I see a good one. Verse 2, "Hearken to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth." It is good to think of God when you hear thunder. You know, just forget the scientific explanation. God invented the science of it so that when it thundered, he could say, "It's me. Just a reminder that I'm up here. a lot bigger than you guys. 3. Under the whole heaven, he lets it go, and his lightning to the corners of the earth. Somewhere, right now, God is flashing lightning and causing thunder. Someplace, at least. One place across this planet. No doubt many, many places. Verse 4. After it, his voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain the lightnings when his voice is heard. After lightning comes the thunder. Verse 5. God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. Lightning and thunder are just a small sample of God's power. He does other things that would stagger our minds to think about it. Verse 6. For the snow, he says, fall on the earth. To the snow, he says, fall on the earth. And to the shower and the rain, be strong. Every child who looks forward to having their school canceled because of snow, well, they can thank the Lord when it happens. Verse 7. He seals up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. No one can escape the weather. You say, well, I just stay inside. Yeah, and what's keeping you inside? The weather. No one can escape the weather. It affects us in one way or another. Verse 8. Then the beasts go into their lairs and remain in their dens. Wild animals head for their dens when the weather gets rough. God put those instincts in them, or else they wouldn't do it. Verse 9. From its chamber comes the whirlwind, and cold from the scattering winds. God releases blizzards and freezing rain. Verse 10. By the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen fast. You go ice fishing? Well, you can thank God for that, because he's the one who decided that lakes should freeze over. 11. He loads the thick cloud with moisture. The clouds scatter his lightning. No one knows exactly for sure just how lightning works, exactly how it is generated. You know, there are some theories. It is enough just to say that God does it. One thing is certain, it isn't an accident. 12. They turn around and round by his guidance to accomplish all that he commands them on the face of the habitable world. God commands weather to do what he wants it to do all over the world, all the time. 13. Whether for correction, or for his land, or for love, he causes it to happen. God uses weather, as we have seen, to correct people, to remind people he is there, and also to bless people. He blesses skiers with snow, skaters with ice. Hear this, O Job. Stop and consider the wondrous works of God. And that's a good idea. It's a good idea to slow down and just think carefully about God's mighty works for a few minutes. 15. Do you know how God lays his command upon them and causes the lightning of his cloud to shine? Good question. How does God make his bright lightning come out of a dark cloud? How does he make his bright lightning come out of a pitch black storm? How does he do that, Job? Do you have an answer? 16. Do you know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him who is perfect in knowledge? Do you know how God piles high his clouds and balances them one upon another, Job? 17. You whose garments are hot when the earth is still because of the south wind. Yeah, God can do huge things with the weather, Job, but you can't even stay cool on a warm day. 18, can you, like him, spread out the skies, hard as a molten mirror? If we can't control the weather enough to keep ourselves cool on a hot day, then we sure can't stretch out the sky like God does. 19, teach us what we shall say to him. We cannot draw up our case because of darkness. Eliphaz is being sarcastic. You're so smart, Job. So teach us how to approach God, because we don't know how to do that. 20. Shall it be told him that I would speak? Did a man ever wish that he would be swallowed up? Who's dumb enough to challenge God by saying, it's my turn to talk, now you listen? Nobody's crazy. I hope, and I suppose there are some crazy enough to talk to God that way. Oh, I'm sure there are. 21. And now men cannot look on the light when it is bright in the skies, when the wind has passed and cleared them. That's true. God is big enough to make the sun, but man is even too weak to just look at it. It hurts his eyes. What a difference between God and man. 22. Out of the north comes golden splendor. God is clothed with terrible majesty. In other words, just as gold came from the mountains which were north of Job, God issues an awesome majesty. 23. The Almighty. We cannot find him. He is great in power and justice, and abundant righteousness he will not violate. God is much too big for us to understand completely. No one is stronger or more just. There is absolutely no chance in the world of God ever being unfair to anyone, which of course is what Job was accusing God of being. 24. Therefore men fear him. He does not regard any who are wise in their own conceit. For the reasons stated by Elihu and many others, everyone ought to bow before the Lord God. Chapter 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. And so at last, God will be speaking. He's taken his turn. And a storm blew in, and Almighty God spoke to Job from out of that storm. Look at it, verse 2. God says, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? In other words, why do you talk about things that you do not understand as if you understood them? 3. Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. It's my turn to question you, Job, and you will answer me, says God. 4. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Job talks so smart. So God asked him where he was when he created the earth. 5. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? Job, you're so smart. So surely you know who drew the design for the earth. God says, tell me, Job. 6. On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? How was the earth's foundation poured? In other words, why is it so stable? How is it so stable? 7. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, the angels were made before the earth. Can you just imagine? All the angels, they were watching God make the world, and boy, did they enjoy it. And I don't blame them. I wish I would have been there. They shouted praises to God as they watched him create the world. What a great show. 8. Who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth from the womb? Who was big enough to control the mighty ocean when it first gushed forth in creation, Job? 9. When I made clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, God said it was me. I controlled the ocean. 10. And prescribed bounds for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. God drew a line on the world's beaches and commanded the oceans not to cross that line, and they obeyed. 12. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place? God is rebuking Job for thinking he's smarter than the Lord. He asked Job, have you ever commanded the morning to get going? You ever done that, Job? 13. That it might take hold of the skirts of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? With the dawn of morning, it is as if God shakes the earth like a blanket and shakes the wicked right out of the earth like bedbugs from a blanket. They scatter from the light of day. 14. It is changed like clay under the seal, and it is dyed like a garment. Yeah, the sun, when it rises, it changes the world. I mean, it brings out all the colors in the world that God created. 15. From the wicked, their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. And thank the Lord for the sunrise. It causes the cover of darkness to be removed from the wicked. In other words, it helps restrain evil. 16. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Hey Job, you think you know so much. Well, have you ever gotten down into the caves that I put at the bottom of the oceans? Have you done that? Do you even know where they are? 17. Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? What about the mysteries of death, Job? Tell me what death is like. You know so much more than me, Job. Come on. 18. Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this. Give me the dimensions of the earth that I created, Job. You know so much. 19. Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And where is the place of darkness? Where does the light come from, Job? Someone says, well, the sun. Okay. Where did the sun come from then? 20. That you may take it to its territory, and that you may discern the path to its home. Job, tell me where the sun came from, just in case it ever gets lost. Then I know that you'll be able to lead it home. 21. You know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. God says, I'm sure you know. I'm sure you know that one for sure, Job. I'm sure you know the source of light and where it starts. After all, you've been around light all your life, so what's the answer? Is the implication. 22. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Or have you seen the storehouses of the hail? How about where the snow is made? Or tell me where I store all the hail, Job. Tell me that. 23. Which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war. God uses snow and hail to accomplish His will and sometimes to help defeat His enemies. He says, tell me where I keep that vast arsenal of mine, Job. 24. What is the way to the place where the light is distributed, or where the east wind is scattered upon the earth? Tell me where I launch the lightning from, or where I keep the wind, Job. Verse 25. Who has cleft the channel for the torrents of rain and a way for the thunderbolt? God says, Job, who do you think designs thunderstorms and charts their course? You know, there isn't a storm anywhere that hasn't originated from God. 26. To bring rain on land where no man is, on the desert in which there is no man. God cares about the earth, not just people. He sends rains to areas of this planet where no human being has ever yet been. Maybe never will be. 27. To satisfy the waste and desolate land, and to make the ground put forth grass. God wants flowers, wildflowers, and grass to grow, even in areas where no human being will ever see it. It is enough that God sees it, and it is what He likes. 28. Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? In other words, where does it all come from, Job? Who fathers the weather? And not just that, 29. From whose womb did the ice come forth? And who has given birth to the hoarfrost of heaven? Who fathers the weather? Who mothers the ice and the frost? 30. The waters become hard like stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Icy lakes don't just happen. Mother Nature is a secular substitute for Father God. 31. Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion? God wants to know if Job thinks that he's big enough to move or change the constellations which God has made. 32. Can you lead forth the Maseroth in their season? Or can you guide the bear with its children? Can you manipulate these massive things that God has created, Job? 33. Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you establish their rule on earth? God made the heavenly bodies to act as signs and dates, and He wants Job to explain how it all works. And explain why it's so reliable, Job. 34. Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you say, Job, clouds, drop some rain on me and have it happen? Can you do that? God could do that. 35. Can you send forth lightnings that He may... Can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Can you order lightning bolts around, Job, and have them obey? God can do that. 36. Who has put wisdom in the clouds or given understanding to the mist? Who gives wisdom and understanding, Job? Where does that originate? 37. Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can tilt the water skins of the heavens when the dust runs into a mass and the clouds cleave fast together? How many clouds are there in the world right now, Job? Do you know? God knows. 39. Can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of young lions when they crouch in their dens, or lie in wait in their covert? Job, why don't you show me how you would teach the lioness to hunt for food for their little ones? Why don't you show me how you would teach them to do that, like I teach them? 41. Who provides for the ravens its prey when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? When birds make noise because they are hungry, whether they realize it or not, they are crying out to God. At least He hears it. He hears, and then He goes to work providing for them. And you know, to all these questions that God asked Job, Job will not be able to respond. And we will see that in a couple of chapters, maybe next time. We'll pick up our study in verse 1 of chapter 35 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.